Morning. My name is Eliah Bushlack. I'm one of the youth interns here at Marian Methodist. Today our first scripture comes from Acts 4, 32 through 35. It reads, "All the believers were one in heart and mind. No one claimed that any of their possessions was their own, but they shared everything that they had. With great power, the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and God's grace was so powerfully at work in them all that there was no needy person among them. For from time to time, those who owned land or houses sold them, brought the money from the sales, and put it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to everyone who had need." Our second scripture is Psalms 133. "How good and pleasant it is when God's people live together in unity. It is like precious oil poured on the head, running down on the beard, running down on Aaron's beard, down the collar of his robe. It is as if the dew of Hermon were falling on Mount Zion. For there the Lord bestows his blessing, even life forevermore." Would you pray with me? Lord, we thank you for this beautiful day, and we ask that everyone will stay safe in the heat. And we give thanks for this place of worship and to be able to be in your presence. We ask you to speak through Gonzo so we may experience the Holy Spirit. May it enter our hearts this morning. In your heavenly name, amen.
Good morning, Mary Methodist. I wanted to start sharing a story that I shared with the youth actually a few months ago. And it's about Christopher McCandless. He is the son of wealthy parents, and he graduates college at the top of his class. And instead of doing what most people do in his time of life, which is, you know, to find a good job, right? Focusing his career and what he's going to do the rest of his life, he does the total opposite. He collects all his belongings, he sells them, and donates all the money to charity. And he embarks on a journey with no real goal in mind towards the Alaskan wilderness. On the way there, in the middle of nowhere, he finds an abandoned bus. And he decides to, you know what, make it his shelter for a while. He thinks, you know what, I'm going to live off the land here, try to hunt, try to collect berries, and try to find meaning here. And he does that. And as you can imagine, it is tough. I don't know about you, I love going camping. But for me, I need to have my camper, I need to have a bathroom, electricity, and all the commodities, right? Right? Some people call it glamping. My friends in the UK, they say, that's no real camping. It is, right? It is. But he didn't have any of that. He was by himself in the middle of nowhere. Already hungry, having a hard time finding food after a few months, feeling lonely, he decides to go back to society because he couldn't do it anymore. He eats some berries that were poisonous. He was on the verge of starvation. And he knows he needs to go back to be able to survive. But there was a big problem. On his way there, he crossed a huge river that was frozen. And now the river was twice the size. So he tries to cross it once, tries to cross it twice, three times. And he realized that he couldn't do it because he would die trying. And already defeated, he decides to quit. And he knows the end could be very, very near. Very weak, he goes back to the bus where he was staying. He grabs his journal, he opens it up, and decides to write a phrase that says, "Happiness is real when shared." Happiness is real when shared. He closes the journal, goes back into his sleeping bag, and waits for his imminent death. Unfortunately, a couple of weeks later, a couple of hunters were in the area. They find the bus, and it was too late. Christopher was gone. They alert the authorities. They come and rescue the body. And thanks to that journal that Christopher kept, that story was able to be told to the world as a form of a book and eventually a movie called Into the Wild. And I remember watching that movie, and maybe you have too, or read the book. And it's a sad story. And I used to think, well, duh, of course, as human beings, we're meant to share life with others. As human beings, we're meant to connect with each other and share life and share happiness with them. Why he didn't know that? But what I didn't know was the other side of the story. So after the movie, Christopher's sister decides to write a memoir telling the other side of the story, his upbringing. He grew up in a toxic family. He didn't have anybody. He always felt lonely. He suffered bullying, rejection. So when he left towards the Alaskan wilderness, he wasn't just seeking adventure. He was escaping the toxic environment. He didn't have anybody to support him. He was feeling alone, and he thought, you know what? I'm going to find meaning out in the middle of nowhere. So I have a question for you guys. Are our relationships and the people that surround us as important as we think they are? And the answer is, of course, yes. The answer is yes. See, a few years back, I was scrolling online, and I came across an article that changed a little bit of the way I see the world, I see life and relationship. It was the longest ongoing research ever by the University of Harvard, more than 80 years of research. And the people, the university researched more than 724 men from different backgrounds and different social economic status. Feel free to look it up later. But they were trying to find out what made somebody happy. What were the key elements that make a person happy? And for the surprise of many, it wasn't your background, how much money you had growing up, the family you had so much, what ethnicity you were, what part of the country you belonged, how smart you were. It wasn't any of that. The key element that determined somebody's happiness was the quality of their relationships, the quality of the people that surrounded each individual. And that really blew my mind in a way, because a lot of times we think about our communities and we don't put that much effort into them. But community is very important. And it was God's design for us to live this way. We're relational beings. When he created us, he shared a little bit of himself in us and gave us that need for relationship. Let's go to Acts. In Acts 2, 46 and 47, goes a little bit deeper into giving us a picture. What was the church like at the beginning? I love Acts because it really paints it and shows us how a church should look like. How was the church at the beginning when Jesus left and left a mission for us to do? And in Acts 2, 46 and 47, it says, every day the believers, they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all people. And the Lord added to their numbers daily those who were being saved. Laia just read, and that part of Acts also goes a little bit even deeper into that community, Acts 4, 32 and 35. All the believers were one in heart and mind. No one claimed that any of their possessions was their own, but they shared everything they had. With great power, the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. So the gospel was at the center of this community. And God's grace was so powerfully at work in them all that there were no needy persons among them. From time to time, those who owned a land or houses sold them and brought the money from the sales and put it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to anyone who had need. That's why he created the church, a community of believers that would share life together through thick and thin. God knew that being a Christian was going to be tough. God knew that being a follower of Jesus, there were times that they were going to be persecuted. People were going to suffer to the point of death. So he knew they needed a community to support each other, to make it through the hard times. And it was God's design for the church to be a family. And for centuries, the church played a huge role in helping combat loneliness, isolation in the world. And a lot of times we hear, right, about the church, well, the church is a bunch of people that, you know, the religious but hypocrites at the same time, or we are being hurt by the church and all of that. But what we don't realize is that the original church, the church that Jesus commanded us to have, it's way more than that. It's meant to be a family. Unfortunately, nowadays, the idea of I believe in God, but not in the church, it's very prevalent. The idea of like, well, my faith, you know, I'm a Christian, but I don't need to go to church. I'm a Christian, but, you know, my faith is personal. It's just me and God. It's private. I don't need to tell anybody about it. That thought process is very prevalent nowadays. And here's why that's not very wise. Because we need each other to stay in the path. We need each other to support each other go through the tough times of life. There are times that I don't feel like praying, but I come to church, I hear somebody pray for me, and I feel encouraged, right? We just read in Acts, they spur each other, and they encourage each other, they supported each other. And that's what the church family is supposed to be. So maybe today you're thinking, you know what? I want to be part of a church community that is like that. And as I was thinking about the question we're tackling today, I came up with three thoughts. So how can you embrace the congregation as your family? The first point, I think it's important for you to recognize the importance of the church in your life. We really need to assess our lives and think about all the activities we do. Think about our jobs. Think about our family time. Think about the time you dedicate to watching TV shows, spending time with loved ones, doing chores, exercise. And think about church. And put it all on the table. And think about how important is church. What position does church take in your life? And be honest. Because we're not honest, it's hard to really start embracing the church as our community, as the community we're meant to have. But to begin with, to be able to do this, you need to be a follower of Jesus. You see, our church, our youth community, our ministries welcome anybody. Whether you are a Christian, whether you have put your faith in Jesus ages ago, or maybe you're new to it, or you're struggling with faith, or maybe you're not even sure you're a Christian. You say, you know what, Gonzo? The faith thing, I'm still exploring it. I'm not sure if I'm buying everything yet. That's okay. You are welcome here. But what I'm talking about when I say church family, I mean the church of God, the family of God. We need to give our lives to Him to really be able to be of that community. In Ephesians 2, Paul is talking here to the believers, and he's reminding them how their life was before knowing Christ. So in Ephesians 2:19 to 22, Paul's talking and says, "Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people, and also members of His household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus Himself as the chief cornerstone. In Him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple of the Lord." It's talking about unity. "And in Him, you two are being built together to become a dwelling in with God's life by His Spirit." Isn't that awesome? Now you're fellow citizens. You're part of God's household. If you're giving your life to Jesus, you're automatically part of God's family. And that's supernatural because God brings us together. We're not just called servants. We're not called slaves. We're called people that belong to the family of God. And to be able to really experience that, you need to be a believer. You see, I left my home country many years ago, about 13 years ago. And at times it was scary, leaving my family, my friends, everything I knew. And I got to travel to many countries around the world. Got to see many people, explore many cultures. I met people that didn't speak the same language as I did. But when I went to a church, when I met believers in different parts of the world, didn't matter anything else but that we had something in common. We both had Jesus living in us. And that was enough to feel that we had something strong in common. And that supernatural feeling is what you have today if you're giving your life to Jesus. So if you haven't done that before, today's the day. Just say, you know what? God, here I am. I'm not even sure about faith as a whole, but I just want to give my life to you. I know but that by myself, I cannot do it. Like Christopher, he tried to do it on his own. He tried to find meaning on his own, and he couldn't. We need a community of people to be able to live life and grow in our faith. And we need consistency in our fellowship. Simple. We need to be consistent in meeting together, getting to know each other as a community. Hebrews 10, 23 to 25 says, "Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess. For he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching." And let us consider how we may spur one another towards love and in good deeds, and not giving up meeting with each other. The author here is pointing out, you know what? This is a problem. You want to grow in your faith. You want to embrace the church as your family, but you're not showing up. You're not meeting with each other. You're losing the habit of coming to church. And that's so important for our community. My next point is, be the family you want to see in your community, in your church community. If we want to embrace this church, God's church, as our own family, we need to start being that family to others. A few years back, when I was full-time missions in the UK, I went to a conference, and I heard a testimony that really impacted my life. A story of a girl that grew up in India, a Hindu girl, very religious girl, and she was getting ready to move to the UK to study. And she was really excited because she always dreamt about moving across, getting to know a different culture, and going to university. But all of her family started to warn her about something, about Christians. They said, well, you're going to go to this place, and you know what? In the UK, there's a lot of Christians there. And you need to be careful, because Christians always are looking for an opportunity to take your faith away from you. Christians always want to pressure you into believing whatever they believe. Christians are hypocrites. They only want your money. You need to be careful. So when you meet Christians, just be watch out. Be very careful. So she took that to heart. When she got to the UK, she was really excited. She loved everything she saw, right? And it got to the point that she needed a job, right? She needed a job to get some money. So she was looking for a job and finds a job in a coffee shop. She goes to this little coffee shop, and everybody was lovely there. She gets a job and starts working for a couple of weeks. And she realizes something special about that coffee shop. Everybody was so welcoming, so nice. But then after 2 weeks, she realizes that coffee shop belonged to a church. It was a ministry of a church. And right away, her walls go up. And she realizes that, you know what, I need to watch out now. And as soon as I hear a Christian trying to push me into believing their things or judging me, I'm going to quit. So she starts being very open about her religion and about her tradition with everybody. And she notices that it didn't matter. People kept loving on her. People kept accepting her the way she was. People kept inviting her to their homes to share a meal. For some reason, these people had something that she didn't. And she was very intrigued, to the point that one day she says, you know what? I want what you guys have. What is it? And the people there tell her about Jesus, how Jesus can transform your life. And she gives her life to Jesus. And she realized that hope, meaning, wasn't found in anything else but in Jesus. And was thanks to that community of loving Christians that she got to know God. Isn't that beautiful? Don't we want our communities to be like that? Wouldn't you like to invite your friend that doesn't know Jesus to church? And they realize this is a lovely community. They feel loved. They feel welcome. But there's something about this community that attracts them. And that is the supernatural love of God living in each person. That's why if we want to really embrace our church as a family, we need to start being that community. We don't need to wait until somebody else step out. And that's that. We need to be the ones that are reaching out, that are loving, that are caring, and that show God's love to everybody. And last but not least, we need to show up and step out. We need to attend the local church regularly. You see, now a regular attender of church is only twice a month. Think about that. If you only come to church on Sunday morning for the hour you come, twice a month, those are 2 hours you spend at church a month. A month has 720 hours. And you're wanting to build a community that's strong, that's connected, that feels like family, but you're only spending 2 hours a month at a church. And when church is over, you just head out to your car and leave. Is that possible? My point is like, no, it's not. We need to start showing up for each other. We need to start spending time reaching out to each other, inviting each other for coffee, building our relationship, joining a community group, joining a growth group, going to a Bible study, getting out of our comfort zone and stepping out. And even we might feel awkward at times, but talking to that new person we haven't talked to before. Dedicating time to build that community is necessary. Not just because we want to to have friends at church or feel like a nice social club, but because faith is important for us. And we need each other to grow. We need each other when we go through troubles. We need each other when we need prayer. There are times I feel weak in my faith, and I come to church and I hear somebody's testimony, and I hear how God has been very strong and very powerful in somebody's lives. And that encourages me, and that empowers my faith, that helps me grow. And you know what? I feel that God is with me. But we need each other. Our faith was never meant to be lived alone. There's no other way. It's in us to start fostering those relationships. And we can start now. And I want to close with this phrase now that we're in sports season, right? Because being a Christian without a church family, it's like playing ball without a team. And we know that, right? If you like sports, a team sports, you know that you need a team to be able to be a good player. You might practice by yourself, you might be a good player, but it gets to a point that you need to execute those skills within a team. And you need each other to score. You need each other to support each other in the game. So friends, the challenge is there. And you can start today. You can start right after this service, going out and reaching out and talking to somebody over coffee. You can start next week inviting your family, your friends to our kickoff, where it's going to be a great opportunity to meet new people, to start fostering those opportunities, to join a Bible study, to come to youth group. We need to be able to show up and step out. Let me pray. God, I want to thank you so much because you care for us. And you gave us this amazing church family for us not to be alone. And there are so many people out there that need you. So many people out there that are feeling lonely, that are feeling depressed, feeling anxious. And they need a church community like this one to feel loved, to feel cared for, and to know that you are present. So help us and challenge us to foster that in this community. Help us to reach out to each other and care for each other and really embrace this church as your family, God. As we come together, help us grow. Help us in our faith. And help us go out there and share your love with the world. In Jesus' name we pray and we'll say, Amen.